I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Okay, this is going to be a tough one. I'm not going to kid you, but I do think it's something that we need to talk about, even though it's something no one wants to talk about. I think it's something that we need to talk about. And I would definitely say don't listen with kids in the car. So if you have kids around, don't listen with your kids. So pause.
Okay, so let's.
And then listen without your kids.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, I was reading, I get my little Psychology Today. Autumn picked this one up for me. And on the cover, right, it says, love and lust. Yes, you can have it all. And then it says, but beware the kitty trap. So I start reading my little magazine and I'm like, oh boy. And I'm like, there's no way they're really going to say that kids hurt a marriage because you can't say that, right? Or kids can. Kids can hurt a marriage. It's not the kids' fault, but it's the way the parents react to the children that causes the problems. And so I was like, no, they couldn't really say that because nobody would dare say such a thing. And then I open it up. And it says, childolatry. This is a word. Childolatry. And the definition, the worship of one's children at the expense of one's marriage. Why parenthood today kills sex and creates marital dissatisfaction. And I start reading. And I got to tell you, they give this analogy, right, of this couple, Frank and Gina, with the couple friends admired most. Intellectual, funny professors who taught on the same campus, they were perfectly matched. But after the birth of their first child, their sex life dropped off. They bickered incessantly and started taking antidepressants. 20 years later, they're still married with thriving careers and successful children, but privately they've been unhappy for a long time. And it goes on. So listen to this. Basically, what they're saying is that the way we've evolved to parent is killing our marriages. And, you know, in the 50s, it was like kids would go out and play. Yeah. They would go out and they would play and they would come back. And now, you know, and like the woman would have her role of like, oh, I do this, I do that. And the man would have his role of I go out, I do this, I do that. And it's sort of like, you know, whether the women in the 50s were necessarily fulfilled because they weren't likely working, but it seemed to work under that structure. Then in the 70s, it was like, no, women need more equality. And so that whole idea of being equals as partners, like both can be breadwinners, it was a little difficult for men, I think, to sort of find where they stand. Sure. Yep. But it was like, all right, you know, this is good. And we kind of got through that. And I remember, by the way, like I read this whole thing. Autumn, did you send this to me? It's amazing that children in the 70s are still alive. And it goes to show, like, we didn't have to wear our seatbelts. You know, we could sit on our parents' motorcycles and not have a helmet on.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just, so I'm not saying that's right, but, like, I remember, like, I would go outside and I wouldn't come home. I'd be on my skateboard. I'd be on my bike. I'd play soccer with a body. Like, my parents weren't entertaining me 24/7.
We used to wait for the whistle. We'd hear the whistle and then we'd know it to
come home. Right.
Just waiting for the whistle.
So it talks about how now we feel like our children need a constant audience. They need to be constantly entertained, mm-hmm. constantly hovered over. And by the way, Heidi does feel that way. She absolutely is like, I have to be with them. I have to be with them. I have to raise our children. I'm raising our children. I'm going to be the one raising our children. And it's like we fight about this one thing. We've never fought. We were the couple that is same thing that everybody most admired. We never fought. We were perfectly matched. The whole thing had our kids. And it was like the only thing we've ever fought about, parenting them. Our differences in parenting styles. And I'm very much like the man in the relationship where I'm like, they're fine. Let's go away for the weekend. Let's go, you know, out to dinner. And it's like, you know, we're all end up doing all the stuff around the house because Heidi is like, no, I have to be with the kids. I have to be with the kids. I have to be with the kids. And, you know, Phoenix isn't in school. He's two. Not in school yet. I'm just now getting Lou into school 5 days a week next year. She was only going 3 days a week till 1 o'clock from 9 to 1. Mm. So I personally was like, you know, if I'm the man, the traditional man role in the relationship, only because I am the one that sort of like goes out and kind of has to, you know, make the money. And it's like, she stays.
You have to go out and kill the yak.
Yes. I got to kill the buffalo, whatever. Yeah. And so anyway, it's like as being in that role, I can tell all the women listening, I'm going to tell you how your husband feels. And that's a bold statement, but you're going to know if I'm right by the things that I say. Mm. And the minute there's a baby in the mix, the man in the relationship feels like there is no place for him. And for a little while, by the way, there isn't, because the mother does have to be enmeshed with the baby to form that bond. And it is a necessary part. And I say this because of all the therapy I've done about these issues. It is a necessary part of, like, you know, the child's comfort and self-worth and self-esteem and what have you. But after like a year or so, very gradually, you start to break that sort of merged state and the child slowly begins to build some autonomy. And but the man is like, wait a second, you know, you don't feel sexy. You don't feel good about your body. You know, all your attention goes to the kid. Like, what about me? And they feel like they've lost their best friend. They've lost their partner. Yeah. And it's like, and you hear these stories about men that cheat on their pregnant wives or their wives that have just had babies. And I remember before I had kids, there was a guy that I had worked with on a project, and everybody knew he was having an affair, and his wife had a little baby or a little toddler, and she just had another baby. And I was like, what a scumbag. And we all hated his guts. And the thing is, do I think that's right? No, I don't think that's right. That's not obviously how you want to handle the situation, but I now understand why he did it. And he was like, all right, so it's all about the kids and, you know, whatever. So I go out, I kill the yak, I bring it home, and kid. And what about me? What about me? So these men just go, all right, I'm just going to go have an affair. I'll sleep with women or whatever. They'll never know. My wife will never know. And then I do, you know, I've got the wife. I've got the kids. I do what I'm supposed to do. I bring home the bacon. But I have this little thing for me on the side, and I deserve it. And the thing is, men do deserve. Everybody in the relationship deserves happiness. It's just that's obviously not the most productive and healthy way to get it.
Right.
So really, there has to be an open conversation and a dialogue between couples and how they're feeling and how they can adjust. And as a woman, I'm not prone to an affair. I'm not going out and sleeping with strangers. I just can't do that. If I have an affair, I've fallen in love with somebody else. Like, it's not like, oh, hold on, I can just hook up with someone and you'll never know and this works for me. It would never work for me. For me to have an affair, it would ruin my entire family. And it created so much stress in the relationship because I was like, okay, I lost my best friend. Like, I lost my partner in crime. You know, it's like all kids all the time. And it doesn't feel good to like, it just doesn't feel like, then you're going through this stuff and it's just, And we worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And we still work on it. And it's fascinating because for Heidi, she does feel like this is what a good mom does. I have to be there all the time. I have to raise them. I need to be there. I need to be the audience. I need to be there 24/7. I've got to be the one. And like the nanny is only there to basically help her. Right. The nanny doesn't even take, you know, she doesn't really even take the kids. I'm like, let her take the children. And as we've been moving, it's been so hard because I'm like, babe, I can't do it all. I can't do it all. And even though, yes, okay, well, you have assistance, Jill, you're not wrong, but think of it like this. I move and I look around and it's a big property and there are lots of coyotes. We've got 3 dogs. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, this is a problem. There's tons of holes in the fences. I want the dogs to be able to get out of the house. So I'm like, we need a fence guy out here. So I will say, hey, Autumn, can you find me a couple of fence guys? So she will, but I've got to meet with each and every fence guy, show them what I want fenced, how I want it fenced, and that's going to take 3 hours, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just the fence guy. It's the trash is a mess. We've got to deal with the waste management and the pool situation and the alarm situation and closing escrow on the other house and fixing it up to, like, there's a host of things. And she's like, feels guilty letting the kids just play with the nanny and helping me get this stuff done. And, you know, so we're like, we're dealing with all of this. And I'm like, you know, you need to be needed, right? You need to be needed, and you want your children to need you. I need you. Mm-hmm. And I literally said to her, I'm like, I was like, babe, I need you. He's going to grow up and leave. That's what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to raise them to leave us. And I'm still here. I'm the one that needs you. And you don't see that at all. And it's fascinating. So we go through all of this, right? And then I open up this magazine and it's this whole article about how this is like a pandemic. And I was like, all right, you know what? I am going to talk about it because I'm wondering if other couples or anybody listening out there is having the same struggles. And what I can say is, you know what? She's like, you don't understand all the things I do. And she lists off all the things she does for the kids. And I'm like, I get it, honey, but they don't need all of this, like, hovering and doting. And by the way, I don't even personally, my parenting style, I don't even want that for them. Mm-hmm. I want them to be more autonomous. I want them to self-soothe. I want them to entertain themselves a little bit. I believe in that. I'm a very independent person. I want them to have that. I don't want them to sort of need to be merged with me.
Yeah.
I don't have that. And you know what? I hear that if you don't physically have the child, this is how men feel. When you physically have the mm-hmm. child, it does something to your body and you like, you want to be merged. But men, you know, the men I talk to are like, they're more like me. They're fine. The baby's okay. Like, I was talking to a couple the other day. They have a little 4-year-old. They're pregnant again. And, you know, the husband was like, I just want to go away and not talk about the kids. Like, they went to Hawaii. And the wife kept saying, oh, you know,
I wonder what's
the little baby. Yeah, she would love this. She would love that. She would love this. She would love that. Oh, I wonder what she's doing. And he's like, stop. Stop it. We're here together. Can we just be together? And so listen to this. This is kind of shocking. This is in the magazine. Close to half of today's marriages end in divorce. But that doesn't even mean that couples who stay together are happy. Even though those marriages remain intact, they've become less satisfying, says Eli Finkel, a professor of psychology at Northwestern University. Many couples carry on dutifully with the task of raising a family, showing a brave face to the world while secretly stuck in a mild chronic depressive state I call depressively married. Modern marriage has hit a perfect storm, a collision between our biology and our contemporary values regarding marriage and child raising. Most unhappy marriages founder on the same rocks, children, noted marital researchers John and Julie Gottman, co-founders of the Gottman Institute in Seattle. They conducted a long-term study of 130 newlywed couples, and he says the data shocked them. 2/3 of the new parents self-reported that they were very unhappy after the birth of their first child.
Wow.
And it's like, this is so sad. So sad.
Do they say in that, are they talking about, is this,
I just remember when my sister had kids, and that was 30 years ago
Different
now.
Different time. That Different was the time. 70s, the okay. 80s.
So it's definitely... It's the time. It's the time we're in. Yeah, of
there's
course it is.
There's something about what they say in this article is that, again, like in the 70s and the 80s, the kids would go out and play.
Yeah.
Women were going through this liberation of like, I'm a working mom, I'm a this, I'm a that. And it wasn't a bad thing to think that your kids could be okay without you. But nowadays, it's like you're a bad mom if you don't hover and entertain and
So merge. What happened?
So here, well, I can tell you specifically for Heidi... I think that she feels, I don't want to share her stuff, but I can just tell you, I think she wants to make sure the kids are always validated and always heard and always this and always that. And for me, I'm like, they're fine, you know, I'm like, oh my God, they're fine. And
the parent doesn't have to be the only validator
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, I'm like, babe, they can validate themselves.
Right.
They can go play in the yard. Like, granted, the two-year-old, but I mean, like, even, like, we have a nanny. I get the safety thing, but they let the nanny take it. Like, it's just so, oh, my God. We were unpacking the house, right? And I'm like, I've got all this stuff, and the nanny's going to take the kids to horses. She's our new nanny. And Heidi's like, well, I better go with her. I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like, we've got boxes piled up to the ceiling. What do you mean you're going to go with her? She's like, well, I need to show her where the horses are. I'm like, it's an address. She's got GPS on her phone. And she's like, well, how are they going to... And the routine, I was like, they'll be fine. And it's just so hard for her. And so as I continue to read the article, and by the way, from my own therapist, her own therapist, family therapist, here's the solution. The primary relationship, and I know there's going to be so many women out here who get mad about this and who disagree, but if you're having these struggles in your marriage, you need to listen and come out of denial, because the primary fix is to make your primary relationship your partner. And when the relationship with your partner is solid, that's when the kids are going to be way happier. That's when you're going to be your best self. That's when the kids are going to have a role model of healthy love and a healthy dynamic. You know, you go out, you make time as a couple, you prioritize your relationship and the romance and the mystery. And, you know, she goes through phases. I get her kind of in and out of it, you know, where I can sort of say like, okay, let's get away for the weekend. And like, I can get her to. And like, I think the last time we did was, man, 6 months ago. I can't even remember. So we're going to New York this weekend because I have work. And I was like, you have a twin sister that the children adore, probably more than both of us. You know, like, leave them with Heather. And it's just, oh, my God. And I guess I just want to say, like, I'm speaking to both parties here. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that's fighting for the relationship and the one that's having a struggle, like, feeling the need to merge with the kids. If you need to merge with your kids, I just need to say to you, like, your kids are going to benefit from having parents that are happily married. Your kids are, you know, they're going to be happier when you're happier. And it's okay. It is okay to not hover 24/7, I think. And in my experience, it allows them to self-soothe, to develop a little frustration tolerance, to become more autonomous. These are all good things. I'm not saying put them in danger, but allow them to go. You know, Heidi was like, oh my God, Phoenix in school and he's going to cry and he can only go. The fight we had about getting him in camp a few days a week, I can't even tell you. Because she's like, I can't leave him. I was like, you can leave him. He's only 2.5. I'm like, honey, in France, people put their children in daycare at 6 months because they have to work. Imagine you had to work. He would have to be in daycare,
right?
Which most kids are, you know, and so.
But those things you mentioned, the autonomy and the confidence to figure and self. I mean, those things, isn't it? I don't know anything about parenting. All I know is I've been understood like in the first, but in the first 5 years of your life, that's when all these things are implanted. This is when all the buttons are put in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you don't learn that in the first 5 years, when the hell are you going to learn it? That you're imprinting is set. That's when
Dunzo.
You imprint.
Yeah. I know. And the thing is, like, I also, like, I would just say, like, as the partner, the husband, or the significant other.
The yak killer.
The yak killer, thank you.
Yeah.
The yak killer, it's very 2014 of us. you can't just go cheat. You can't just sit quietly and let the resentment grow, because I think that's what people do. True. And then they feel guilty about saying, like, I need you. I need this from you. I want this from you. And then they go and have affairs and their relationship.
And it becomes, but I needed that. It becomes past tense.
Yeah.
But I needed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think it's your job to say, you know, I need you. This isn't working for me. And we got to figure this out as a couple. And then, by the way, here's the thing. If you can't figure it out as a couple, I'm sorry to say, I think you separate. I don't think that you role model an unhealthy and unhappy relationship. I've yet to meet a child whose parents were unhappy that didn't regret growing up in that dynamic. That didn't say, oh, I wish they had gotten a divorce. Look at Jake. I mean, you just wish that they would get a divorce. You don't want to see them unhappy or miserable.
You know, you realize it at a certain age, and if it drags on, you're just like,
break
you
up.
They're doing it for you too, and you feel guilty.
Yeah. Yes. And that's exactly it. Kids know. And so I think you got to communicate. And I just also, another thing, I'm sorry, but if your marriage is on the line, get in therapy. Look at why you feel the need to fuse so much with the child and why you feel guilty not doing so, because I promise it's something that's stemming from your background. It always is. Mm. It's absolutely something from your background, and it's not even good for your kids at the end of the day. You know, and I even said to Heidi, I'm like, we need to be really careful, honey, because I don't want Phoenix to then say, like, okay, I have to be needy because mommy needs me to be needy.
Right.
So she feels
validated. Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, by the way, I don't want the kids to feel brave when they're scared because I want them to be brave. Same, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
It's like, they'll be fine. I don't want them to say they're going to be fine because they want me to think they're be proud of them either. It's a, you know, it's a fine line. But there are times when, they'll be fine. Go with the nanny of the horses, they're going to be fine. Leave them with the sitter, they're going to be fine. But if it's like, oh, they're scared to jump off the high dive or whatever, no, that's different. And it's like, I don't want them to do that for me either. But they develop these patterns now. So what, my son's going to grow up and then he's going to constantly play out the same dynamics with his wife of, okay, you know, let me be needy or act needy or have an outburst so that you feel like I need you or whatever. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. This is a thing. This is a big thing. And I'll tell you that every couple I know who has had kids has gotten divorced. Every single one.
Ouch.
Yeah. Every one. She's a friend, but also, you know, she does my hair. Two kids, second kid, divorce. Didn't make it. My friend Christy, one kid, divorce. Didn't make it. It's like my friend Cynthia, they didn't make it. It's like, it's just, and I do think it's not the kid, it's us. It's us, and it's how we're going about parenting and how we're neglecting our relationship. And cheating is not the answer. Communication is the answer. And then if you've tried and you've given it time and you've worked at it and you've looked at your own stuff and it isn't working, then it might be a very amicable separation. But the key, I promise you, the solution is to prioritize your relationship, your marriage, or your relationship with a significant other.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, if there's a silver lining for you, you know you're safe because, of course, I'm in love with you.
I know.
So that you always have
McManus in the wings.
In the wings. Always here for you, Jillian, because I'm obsessed with you and I ruin your greatness.
That's right.
So yeah. I'm here for you.
That's not very encouraging. That really makes me want to work things out. Oh my God. Oh boy.
Woo. Getting hot in here.
Yeah. Oh boy. Can we double up on those marriage counseling sessions?
We spend a lot of time talking about eating the right foods, exercising well, but honestly, if you're not getting the sleep you need, you're simply not maximizing the benefits of nutrition and exercise. You have to prioritize your sleep. And I got to tell you, we've got a new sponsor, the Reverie Bed. These guys gave me one of their beds and I thought, oh, sure, okay, I know, it's nifty, it's cool. It has dramatically changed the way that I sleep. This bed can do anything. It's completely customizable. So if you need a firm mattress, if you need a soft mattress, if you need a mattress in between, it can do it all. It elevates your upper body, your lower body. It stretches your body. It massages your body. It's really quite remarkable. And I have to tell you that if you really are concerned with your health overall, sleep is just critical. And you know what? Here's the deal with these guys. If you think I'm exaggerating, if you don't believe me, if you're curious about whether or not it really works, Reverie offers a 101-night no-risk guarantee because they believe that the best place to try a mattress isn't in a mattress store for 5 minutes, but in your own bedroom over a long period of time. And guess what? If you don't love it, they'll come, pick it up, and they will give you 100% of your money back. No return shipping fees or restocking fees. And the first 100 people to call 888-888-5990 and say that they heard about Reverie on my show, you're going to get a free set of 618 thread count sheets if you purchase a sleep system worth $300. Simply tweet at Jillian Michaels using the hashtag #CustomizeSleep and tell me how well you're currently sleeping.
You know how a while ago I did that little segment about where I had a little breakdown about, you know, about the money.
Oh, lending your friend
money. And then I realized.
This is our second installment in that.
Well, remember.
That was our second installment. Is this our third installment?
No, this is the.
You lent the friend
the money.
Yeah,
that's right. I lent the friend the money. Then I realized why I lent the friend the money because
thanks
I have my
to me,
inner.
Of course.
And I didn't give you any money, but yeah, thanks to you because.
Helped you have that epiphany.
That epiphany where I had the breakdown.
You lent
on the
her money.
Show, but why I lent the money.
You didn't feel worthy.
And didn't feel worthy. And right. then, mm-hmm. that's right, and then you said, you know what, I think you should send a note.
Saying, where's my money?
Well, you're just,
bitch,
I
better
sure.
have my money.
So I did send a note.
Oh, my God.
I did.
Uh-huh. What did you say?
Hang on. I said, hey.
Uh-huh. Hey.
How you doing? I hope all is well in your world.
Oh, nice.
I said, this is kind of an awkward note to write.
Good for you.
A year ago this past February, I put $500 in your bank account.
Yep.
We had one email exchange after that, not about the money, but about my niece. But I just asked her a little question, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you were really helpful. However, since then, I have not had any communication with you.
Okay.
It has been confusing for me that there's not been any acknowledgement of the situation.
Good for you.
Just had to put that out there. And please, I am not in any way trying to shame you. That is not my intent with this note. It just feels weird. Once again, I hope all is okay. Take good care, Janice.
No response, of course.
No response.
Yeah. But good for you.
But I'm more surprised at no response to this.
Oh, Autumn showed up with our lunch.
God, we were worried about you.
Yeah. We were sort of worried.
Okay?
I was more concerned about my lunch.
Well, your coffee was the only one that wasn't the casualty of the Starbucks run.
Oh, no.
Oh, good. Well, as long as it's mine.
Ours is on my car floor.
Oh no.
But Jill's made it.
Oh, Pookie, I'll share mine with you guys.
That's all right.
Let's get two cups. I'll share it. Is your car okay? The hoopty.
The beater's okay.
Autumn, we'll talk about that, the hoopty, later. Are you okay? I didn't really care. I just pretending
no,
to care. That's why I'm
here. No, she cared. We were worried.
No. So, Autumn, listen to this. Janice, remember that lady who she lent money to?
Yes.
She wrote a letter and was like, bitch better have my money. lady didn't respond, which
I
is a big shocker.
I bitch better have my
but
money.
But Janice is now, you did. But Janice is now about to express her feelings on the fact that, of course, the lady never responded.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't miss this.
Yeah.
But Autumn can read this note. Because it wasn't, bitch, where's my money? I thought it was a very nice note.
Bitch, better have my money.
No, I didn't say that.
Anyway, go on.
So I'm actually more surprised.
That she didn't respond.
I don't know. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to put myself in that situation and go.
You're not that person, though.
Okay. Well, I know.
But you're not that person.
But I did what I did.
You got to go into these situations with zero expectation.
We go into these situations to clear our own conscience and to clean up our own side of the street. And while, yes, it sure would be nice if she was like, God, Janice, I'm sorry. You know, I you're right. And that was inappropriate of me. And I was just uncomfortable. And I'm so disappointed in myself that I did that. And God help us all. Let me put $50 in your account this week. And if she was the kind of person that would write that letter, she wouldn't be the person that asked you for money in the first place and then never contacted you again. But the great news here, and this is what we should celebrate, is not the fact that she didn't change, because of course she didn't change, Janice, that you changed. Huh?
Yeah.
Look at you!
Yes, I wrote the note.
Look at you, buddy! Yeah!
You know, you just brought up something very, very interesting. That
of course
in
I did.
In recovery, you know, when you do an inventory, you know, part of the 12, whatever 12-step program you're in, because there's many, but in part of the 12 steps, when you do an inventory and you do your amends,
yeah.
And I had some very good advice that said, when you go to do your amends, you go in there, you say, you know, I apologize for my behavior, whatever this situation was.
Okay.
And I was told, and you shut your hole. She didn't say shut your hole. She said just be quiet.
Okay.
And let them talk.
Okay.
Because you're right. When you do an inventory, when you do an apology, you are cleaning up your side of the street. The outcome you cannot control,
nope.
Which is exactly what you're saying.
No.
And sometimes when you're doing these amends, to when you're kind of, you know, making nice or trying to fix things in your life, sometimes they go really well, and sometimes they go really crappy. Like, sometimes they're like, people, is what you say. They'll say, oh, you know what, Janice, or whatever, or Jillian, I'm really glad you said that, and you know what, and I realize that was a tough time in your life, blah, blah, blah. You know what, everything's like. Other people will take the moment to go, you know what, you were a complete a-hole,
yeah.
And I just want to tell you a few more things. and your job is to just go, or at least what you're supposed to do is just kind of take it and just go, and don't defend,
mm-hmm.
Just take it and listen and go, you know, I hear you, and you know what, and again, I'm, you know.
Right.
What you're saying is, you can't control the outcome of
No, and by the way, I don't even think that's the point. So, like, when I think about the concept of making amends, while it would be wonderful if they forgived you and you were able to move forward with a happy relationship, it seems to me, and I don't know much about 12 steps, but it would seem to me almost the fact that you're taking responsibility for your behavior is the key there, is one of the pieces of that puzzle. Like, when you make amends, it's like, I'm taking responsibility for what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sorry, but by almost saying that, it's you're owning up to it. It seems like it's almost more about that than their response to begin with. It's about you doing your work.
Right, right. It is for you. It is for you. And it's like I can go into it. If I'm in a... when my mom was going through her hard times and I was more impatient, I remember going into a store that and I was really bitchy to the woman. I was just like, you know, just loud. And I was an a-hole. And
we
I
all
left.
All have those moments,
right.
Girl.
But I
all
left the store and I just went out, pissed on it. And I was driving and I went, Janice, I want to go back in that store. Like the old Janice would just go, I'm never going to go in that store again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to deal with my behavior.
Yeah.
So you never go back to the store. And I just went, you know what? I want to go back to that store. So I drove back and I went, you know what? I'm sorry. I said, I'm going through this time. And I just said, you know what? I was really rude to you. I had no right to do that. And I'm sorry. You didn't need to hear that. And the person, and I can go to that store anytime I want now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of going, okay, I got to cross the street and I can't let them see me.
But I think that's what it's about. It's about cleaning up your side of the street,
right.
Taking responsibility for your actions. And I never expect this woman to give you the money back. But the point is that...
Oh.
No, the bitch will never give you the money. But because she...
No, I really didn't want to hear that,
no,
but I'm glad you said that.
No, you're never going to see a penny of that. But the whole idea is that you stood up for yourself. You faced down the uncomfortability. You made a stand. You expressed your feelings. And that shows that you value yourself. It's a statement of self-worth. And you now have done all that you can do. And you can... All right. Here's why I did it. Let me learn my lesson so I don't do it again. Let me stand up for myself so I can rectify what I have done in the situation. And, you know, in the future, I'm not going to put myself in harm's way like this. Period. Mm-hmm. But I actually think the whole just the fact that you went there and you were brave like that and you said how you felt, I think that's a big deal, Manus.
Oh, jeez.
Now can we eat lunch, though? Because Autumn's here. Alright, this is sort of snappy, aka food or fitness related. So, as you know, the blending thing, the juicing thing is like uber craze right now. It's a craze, right? Craziness. But
the juicing,
yeah,
yes.
And we've commented and on it a little bit, but I thought that I would offer a little bit more of my two cents. First of all, I prefer a blender, not a juicer. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Why, Jillian?
Fiber, people. Fiber.
Oh.
Yeah. Then you get all the fiber.
You can't set the juice on fiber? I don't know. I don't know.
It juices it. You know when you pull all that gunk out of the juicer? That's the fiber.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, a blender, not a juicer. How about that? And let's talk about all the different things that we can do. First of all, you want to predominantly, I've said this before, but you want to juice your vegetables. You want to eat your fruit. If you're... Why is that funny?
I was just...
I don't get it.
Well, have you seen some of the carrots that people buy for juicing?
No.
Those big carrots. You know, when women walk by the aisle very slowly. Those huge juicing carrots. Yeah. I'm sorry. They're very naughty.
And that's...
You see men walk by quickly, but women walk by slowly. The juicing... There's a different carrot for juicing. Huge, huge carrots. I'm just saying. It's just...
Okay,
that's my tooth. I'm helping.
Okay, so, juice. Oh God, juice your vegetables.
That's what you said. It just sounded
eat
not
your fruit.
Juice your juice.
But in that
juice your vegetables.
Juice fruit juice is. Oh boy, how are we gonna come back?
Have you ever seen them though?
Oh my God, no.
Oh, they're just gargantuous. They're even bigger than horse carrots. You know a horse carrot. You have horses. You know, you buy the bag of horse carrots. You know, you go to Howe's and you go buy the big bag. Hey, get out, and they bring out the bag of horse carrots. But these are particularly... I'm just saying that if, you know, with a nice glass of Chianti, a nice juicing carrot, you know what? I don't even know what Chianti is. I haven't drank in so long. I don't even know. I'm just saying, maybe a nice candle, a nice glass of wine, and a juicing carrot. And you know what? There would be a lot of problems solved in the world today. Just saying that. Now, what was this about the fiber?
You
blending versus juicing.
Specifically asked for a snappy segment and then turned it into something unrecognizable just now.
No, it's just, I was just thinking
I
that when you...
I did all this work trying to do a thing on how to create a good smoothie.
I'm just, all I was saying was that there's
now we're all sick.
There's vegetables that you use for juicing that you wouldn't normally use for stir fry. And I'm just saying the juicing vegetables tend to be naughty, naughty looking.
Okay. So, anyway, we're going back to our blender.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about bases, shall we? Here are some good bases.
Okay.
We want the bases to come in with very little sugar, 80 calories a cup or under. So we can use water. We can use unsweetened coconut milk or unsweetened almond milk. That's our base. Okay. You don't want to use juice.
Too
much sugar.
Yep.
Okay. So we don't add juice. Now, apple juice, for example. The veggies. Sometimes these can give things a bit of a strong flavor. So a good place to start would be something like spinach, because it's a little more subtle. And then you can work your way into like the cucumbers, the celery, the Swiss chard, the kale, the broccoli, the carrots, Janice. All right. Now, we can put fruit in, but the key is to keep it to about a half a cup of fruit. Want to keep the sugar down. And this is where you can throw in things like the pineapple, the mangoes, the oranges, pears, apples, cherries, etc. Mm-hmm. And this is where you'll get your sweetness from. So it could be banana apple, it could be raspberry apple, but about a half a cup of fruit. No more, okay? We need protein in there. This is key. Very important. And remember, if we're blending the fruit, but we're not juicing the fruit, we still get our fruit fiber. Okay, because if you made a glass of fruit juice, it would be like 10 oranges, whereas we're only putting in a cup of like a whole apple, one fruit, right. Big difference. Okay, we need protein powder. So we want about 1 to 2 scoops of powder. You can use whey protein, pea protein, hemp protein, or you can use Greek yogurt. I avoid soy. Egg protein is also fine. I have yet to find any benefits from brown rice protein. I don't really get it. It seems like a waste to me.
Don't you like whey? Don't you use whey?
I like whey because it's the most bioavailable.
Right.
But pea and hemp are also good for you. I don't love the taste of the hemp, though. That's the only thing. Avoid the soy. That's key. All right, now, we want healthy fats in there because they help us absorb our nutrients. So we can use 1/4 cup of nuts or about 1 tablespoon of nut butter, or you can go with avocado, like a half an avocado. So walnuts, almonds, peanut butter, cashews, pistachios, or avocados.
Okay.
Okay, see? Now, on top of that, this is where we start getting into our superfood additions.
Fish oil!
No, that wasn't...
Oh.
No.
No.
Yeah, not in a smoothie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay. No. More like ginger.
Okay.
Mint.
Yep.
Cinnamon. Cocoa nibs. Things like that.
Okay.
Turmeric. Hibiscus.
I've been hearing a lot of stuff about turmeric.
Turmeric, big anti-cancer. Big one.
Really?
I do turmeric shots every day.
You do?
Every day I do it. Yep. Little power shot. Bam.
Of just, what do you do?
Mix I now it? Started getting this thing at the farmer's market that I love. It's hibiscus, ginger, and turmeric blended together. And I just shoot it every day. Boom. Whammo.
But how do you take a turmeric shot? What is it? Like mixed with what?
Squeezed, juiced turmeric.
No kidding.
Yeah. It doesn't taste amazing, but, or you can stick it in your little
concoction.
Okay. And then... I have a couple recipes.
Okay.
Yeah. So write this down. This one is with water. So you put, let's say, 10 ounces of water. Then you would do 2 stalks of kale. You do 1/2 cup of grapes. And then I allowed for a little more. You know, you could put, let's say, 1/4 cup of mango chunks in there. Then you put a strip of lemon rind and 1/2 an avocado. That one's called the Green Monster.
Mm.
I also put greens powder in that one. Delicious. Okay. This one is 1/2 cup of seedless watermelon. 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 1/4 cup cantaloupe, okay, and then you add some basil leaves, and you 2/3 cup of ice, and you whip it up. Delicious.
All right.
I know. It is yummy. Okay, this is a berry one, so we put in this one 12 ounces of water, 1 cup of spinach, 1 cup of the mixed berries, then we put 1/2 cup of organic low-fat yogurt, a little protein powder, vanilla protein powder, whey protein powder, and 1 tablespoon of walnuts. Delicious. Huh? These are my little recipes. What's the matter with you?
You know what's so funny about kale?
What's your problem?
No, but is it...
It makes you fart your brains off?
No, yes, that it does. But remember years ago when it used to be just this garnish on your plate and you'd take it and you'd chuck it off your plate? No one touched the kale. And now all of a sudden
superfood.
It's superfood.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that was my segment, I'd add that too. And once again, anticlimactic. Boring. I probably would have shut it off if I was listening in my own car. But you wanted it.
Boring.
I need some segment too. That's what we need. Something that gets back to the roots. People want fitness. They want nutrition. They want diet, Jillian.
When did I talk like that?
Doesn't she? That's
oh,
your voice.
I thought that was Janice talking.
Oh, you're all so funny.
That's Janice's voice. Sweetie, that's my mom. Hey, Kelly, need some toots. Gotta get some toots in here. That's Janice. You're a saw bear. Whoa. Oh. Get a wee, big bear. Get a wee.
Oh, my God.
You seen those carrots? Yuck, yuck, yuck. Oh my God. I'm just saying. Glass of candy? What are you, Silence of the Lambs? What the heck?
I just stopped.
Oh, I'm going to, believe me. Trust me.
So one of our new sponsors is called Bulu Box, and it is a cool new service that every month will send you 4 to 5 new supplements. And you know I'm a supplement freako. I love my supplements. And the cool thing is you get to try new things. So one month you might discover a new protein powder that you love. There's everything in there from hangover cures to stress remedies to natural energy remedies. It's awesome. All natural, super cool, healthy supplement box. It's $10 a month. And the great thing is that for every $10 box you get, you can get $10 back in reward points. And that's 10 bucks that you can use towards a full-size purchase of whichever newfound healthy product you love. It's an awesome service. It's a great deal. And Bulu Box is offering you a chance to get your first box absolutely free with the promo code Jillian. So you just go to BuluBox.com. That's BuluBox.com. You click on the microphone in the top left corner and you enter the promo code Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N. Here is to discovering a healthier you. Better sign up, Manus. So listen to this one. Doctors on demand. This one's actually really, really cool. This is the future of medicine, I'm telling you right now. This company provides video visits with board-certified physicians immediately, by the way, no waiting for appointments, no waiting rooms, from your smartphone or your PC. You get immediate care from awesome doctors who are focused on you and whatever's going on with you, whichever condition you may be struggling with. And here's how the video visit works. Basically, you Skype in, you tell them everything that's going on with you. The copay is 40 bucks. You get an expert in the field. And essentially, when we were away on tour, we had to use the service because Phoenix got an ear infection, which I, after, you know, knowing him 2.5 years, I had a feeling it was an ear infection. But of course, we're nowhere near our physician, our pediatrician in California. So we used the service, and within an hour, there was an antibiotic prescription waiting for us, cleared it right up. It's so cool. And basically, you download the app, Doctor On Demand, today. You never know when you might need it. My listeners have a special code. It's Jillian20. And with your first visit, when you register, you get 20 bucks off. So your first visit is only $20. You download the app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android. Enter the code Jillian20 when you register, and you get 20 bucks off your first visit. And you can also go to doctorondemand.com. Hey, Autumn, talk into the mic there, Hondo. It's only been like a year.
Well, I know I'm not ready to record yet.
I wanted to ask.
Ready?
I had this idea, guys. I was thinking I've been finding some inner peace. I don't know.
Yeah?
All right, so I'm on mic.
Yeah.
So, I guess sort of as an extension of our doing things and making time for yourself.
I told you that didn't apply to you.
I know, I sneak it in while you're sleeping.
Oh, God.
So I've been trying to make time for myself in the morning, because I find that at the end of the day, I'm tired.
Too tired. Right.
Yep. Take the dog, do the park, do dinner, and then before you know it, it's like 10 o'clock, you go to bed.
Yep, night.
So I started doing, in the morning, I started doing in the morning, 21, doing the 21-day meditation experience.
Oh.
With, it's free, with the Deepak Chopra and Oprah have teamed up to do this thing. A girlfriend of mine sent me the link.
Yeah, it was on Super Soul Sunday.
Super Soul Sunday. Whoa. So I signed up and I was like, I can do 20 minutes in the morning. And I've tried to meditate in the past.
When exactly is this 20 minutes occurring?
Jillian wants
to. You'll never
She's
know.
She's got a phone now.
Autumn.
I need the 20 minutes in the morning.
Autumn.
So 20 minutes. So they release a new one every day. Oh. So that's been my routine. So I get up in the morning.
Mm-mm.
I check my email just to make sure that no one's having a meltdown.
Right.
And then I turn off.
Jillian.
I turn
it's
back.
Not me. It's Giancarlo. Well, no,
it's not. But no.
It's
but
not with, usually me.
It's
except
not.
When I was curbside the other day for 30 minutes, which also shouldn't happen to famous people. Waiting
oh,
for
yeah,
a
that's
car.
A good one.
That was another one. But go on.
So, no, well, because the half of our company is on the East Coast. A lot of things happen before we even wake up. You know, they're 3 hours ahead. Yeah. So I just take a peek before I do my routine in the morning just to make sure that nothing's on fire.
Hmm.
So I take a little peek, then I turn it off, turn off all my things, and I plug my little headset in and I do my 20-minute meditation.
Oh.
And then I do my 20-minute morning yoga.
On your own?
Little wake up. Yeah, just on my own at home.
Hmm.
And then
you don't do my yoga?
That's not the kind of morning. Your yoga is an evening yoga for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't do your yoga. I love you, but you are all over my house.
Interesting.
She's everywhere. She's on the TV. Michael and I laugh. Like, oh, God, I hear her voice. Like, he's even memorized the Icon commercial. He's like, you could climb the Swiss Alps. And we laugh.
Jesus, the same thing. He's like, it's the worst. I can't get away from you. I walk through the airport. You're on the magazine stand. He's like, I go to, you know, I turn on the TV. You're yapping about something. He's like, I turn on the radio. There's a promo for something. He's like, ugh, it's horrible. Horrible pain.
I understand.
Well, the point, back to me.
Oh. Oh, God.
So
you reclaim the segment.
Back to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm only on day 4 of my meditation. I've been doing my little morning yoga routine for a couple weeks.
And what are we meditating on?
Well, they give you a new centering thought every morning. You know, yesterday's was feeling inspired.
Oh.
And he'll
of course
give
you thought of me.
Yes.
Right.
Well, it's funny. I got in fights with you guys in my head because it's really hard. There really is a discipline there with being able to turn off your brain.
Yeah.
And I kept catching myself leaving my centering thought, leaving my little meditation garden and getting back to, oh shoot, did I book that car? I have to remember. As soon as
so
I'm done with
well.
This.
She's trying to deprogram my work.
Yeah. I don't know if it's this yet.
My
but
next
I'm
complaint letter
better.
Is going to be to Oprah.
Yeah.
You're ruining my perfectly good assistant.
What have you done to my assistant?
Yeah. Okay, go on. Sleeping
but
better.
I've been sleeping better. The last couple nights I've found that I'm falling asleep quicker.
More easily.
More easily.
Do you think it's just because you've kind of cleared your plate, so to speak, of like, wipe the slate clean, you're not anxious, running over the list of crap to do?
I think so. I think I'm really making more of an effort with my, to turn off, to be able to separate work from my personal life, especially since, you know, we work from home, so the boundary there is blurry.
Well,
you don't have
Giancarlo moved the whole office to Miami.
Yeah.
So everybody on the West Coast is like, has no office.
And, you know, those are my own things. I mean, she jokes about it, but Jill's not, she respects my time after hours. She's good about it. She's good about it.
Something happened the other night, and I was like, what is the blank? What was it? It was something stupid, and then I figured it out, but I didn't see it or whatever. I can't remember what it was. I texted you, and I was like, what's the such and such? I can't remember.
Oh, it was just an appointment on your calendar. Why is G coming to LA, and why do I have a meeting?
Yeah. It was a Saturday night. And I didn't know Giancarlo was coming to LA, and my friend was like, oh, I'm seeing G this week, and I was like, oh, are you going to Miami? And she's like, no, he's here, and I was like, why is he here? And I looked at my calendar, and it was like, I was supposed to meet with him and our CFO, and I was like, oh my God, they're breaking the news to me that we're bankrupt. Like, I just, you know, I was like, so I was like, Autumn, why is Giancarlo down? Why do I have this meeting? And
respond, but only because I happened to have my phone in my hand. I do respond to her, but I don't look. No, I'm not looking for Jillian's text at 10 o'clock on a Saturday.
It is. It responds at 5 in the morning, and I don't even expect it to respond. Mm. It does.
So anyway, that's part of the things that I'm working on with my...
But is sleeping better?
Setting my boundaries of time. Sleeping better.
I don't think this is going to work.
Well, I'm trying to make it the full 21 days.
But have you like established a place? I know you're supposed to apparently establish a place in your house, like that's just completely like make yourself a little altar kind of.
I have. Cool. We do. Well, I have a little, I have a separate bedroom that's my office workspace. And so I have a little bedroll. I lay on the floor. I put my feet up on the wall.
Yeah.
And then I just put a pillow over my face to make it dark. And I just lay there and listen.
Something about that. I put a pillow over my face to make it dark. I simulate leaving this world.
Well, it's not also to make it dark, but it's
all right.
It's kind of like the dog. I have to close my eyes to concentrate. Otherwise, I'll open them and then I start looking around. I need that, like.
So the benefits of this mask. Making this time for yourself are supposedly what?
Well, I think the benefits of making this time for myself is so that I don't have to kill somebody in my day-to-day. Takes the edge off. And I'm hoping that kind of spills over. I don't want to feel stressed out.
But
and
what are the thoughts
and,
of the day that we're meditating on?
What's that?
What are the thoughts we're meditating on, though?
Oh, these are really simple. I mean, they're like... Well, okay, so...
Yeah.
Let's see here. Day 2, feeling inspired. Your centering thought is, I am filled with spirit. I am inspired.
But are you supposed to think of what inspires you?
No.
Don't agree there.
You've never meditated in your entire life,
but
have you?
But I don't think she can do it.
No, I don't... See, Jillian...
But I can't say feeling inspired. You gotta have something that inspires you.
You are filled... Well... These are beginner.
But you got to give things. Somebody got music, a way to get inspired.
They give you the your mantra.
Got to have something to be inspired about.
Shum.
What's that do?
Shum. That's for my inspired mantra. I am inspired.
Shum.
Today was shum. I know. I feel kind of silly when I'm doing it by myself.
Do you feel inspired? That show.
Well, the first day I fell asleep, I felt napped. I'm like, oh shoot.
What's the next one?
It's 8:00.
Show.
Look how she's gonna be late for work.
What else you got?
Look how you're challenging. You're challenging Autumn on something she's sharing.
No, I think I should redo her daily thoughts.
Oh, no. Oh, God. You are the last person who should be doing her daily thoughts. Her daily thoughts.
No,
she's trying to
put
the pillow over her head. Don't you understand?
No, I should do this for her. No. I don't think be inspired. About what?
About.
I got to help her connect with her inspiration. Shom. Who cares?
I'm connecting. You know what I'm connecting with?
Shom.
What are you connecting with?
I'm connecting with myself.
Exactly.
There we go.
There.
And your
shom?
I'm gonna redo your thoughts.
Yesterday.
Oh my God.
Feeling peace. I am peace. There's music. You know, it's got all that like spa music in the background of the waters
peace.
And bells, and he'll chime in every once in a while. You just repeat the mantra. I am peace. Shanti hum.
Shanti. Okay, so we're saying to take a little time for yourself, do your little meditation, but I think I'll program these for you people.
Oh, no.
Yeah, here's a good one. I say, tomorrow, meditate on all of your skills and strengths and really soak them in. Soak them. Soak it up. Yeah, do that one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, I'm trying to just figure out how to lay there for 10 minutes.
With no thought.
Nothing. I mean,
that.
Yes, you can.
If you did that, you'd be one of those people that floats off the bed. No.
Jillian,
I want to float off the bed.
Not going to happen.
Oh, I would love to levitate. Oh, I dream of it.
You're not going to be able to do it either. Well, you're the closest, because God knows you're the farthest thing from grounded, but I'm just saying.
No. But look at your head. See where Autumn's trying to empty her, let her head just be empty and just free. Uh-huh. And you're trying to fill it with a task.
Goal orientation.
Right. And that's not what meditation's about. It's not goal. It's not goal driven. It's.
What's the point?
I don't have room for any more tasks. I have to empty the brain.
I'll give you a good one.
And let them all come back in.
Exactly. Oh, God, Jillian, you know what? You need to meditate.
This is
I'm
my life.
Time for this crap.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Look, I go to therapy.
Every day.
Yeah, you go to therapy and you talk.
Goal-oriented.
About things.
Yeah.
When was the last time you just sat in silence?
I have two toddlers,
Jamie. I knew you were going to say that.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Mom.
And who's, and as you have to explain to us and explain to other mothers out there, when's the time where you can just go, hey, babe, can you watch the kid for a second? I'm going to go up and meditate. Why can't you do that?
What?
You have people. Why can't you take
All right, I'll
20
try
minutes?
It. I'll let you know. But I'm going to write my own meditations. I'll tell you that right now.
That's fine.
What's great about me?
Oh, my God.
It's just, it's so hard.
And then my mantra is going to be, I'm great, Shyamala.
Shyamala. Om great.
Yeah. That's good. Well, all the best with that.
Thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian, netsuite.com/Jillian.